Welcome to the Undercurrent Podcast. I'm your host, Liana Lumawig, life coach, surfer, and ex-corporate girl living in Bali. I've been in unfulfilling jobs and relationships that used to drain my energy and confidence to the point where I was miserable. If you can relate, this podcast is for you. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to stay stuck and settle for anything less than what makes you happy. You can choose how to work, love, and live on your terms. And this podcast will show you how. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Undercurrent Podcast. I have Charito on the show with us today. I'm so happy to have her here. Welcome, Charito.
Hi, nice to see you.
So nice to see you also. I've known Charito for a number of years now, and we met back in the Bay Area, along with her partner, Chen, through a mutual friend and a love of music. Charito and her partner, Chen, are a queer Pinay musical duo, and they go by the name of Astrologic. So their sound is chill, folk, electronic, soul music. It's amazing. And it's shaped by their story of redefining what success and happiness means, especially through their lens as Filipino-American queer and also as healers and survivors of violence and homelessness. So not only do they express themselves through making music and performing, but they also express themselves through sound baths, DJing, minimalism, and decolonization. Yeah. So we've also got a special treat for y'all because Charito will be sharing a song for you at the end of the episode, which has never been done before on the show. So what a special gift to have her do this for us. So stay tuned for that.
I didn't know I was the first.
Yeah, you're going to be the first. Thanks so much for being here.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear the story about Astrologic and how you started and how you got your name.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, well, I'll start with how we met. Back then, she was just a stranger. We have a mutual friend in my cases, and he was part of a band called, oh my God, what's the name of their band?
Unfiltered Soul?
Filtered Soul.
Yes,
Filtered
okay.
Soul. Filtered yes, Soul. There it is. I had to dig back into the archives. Okay. So we met through Mike, who's part of Filtered Soul. And he had booked a gig together with Chen. And they had originally another vocalist, but then something happened and she ended up having to back out. So he asked me, like, hey, I've actually been wanting to introduce you to this person for a long time because she's pretty much like you, except she plays the guitar. So would you want to jump on and you know, sing as a sub for the gig? And I was like, sure, why not? And so we met in his garage. It was just like an instant connection. It was just like, we just like knew each other's language. The energy, like it was a very easy connection. So that just like continued forward. And we ended up writing a lot of music together. We ended up playing a lot of gigs. It started out as covers and then we started doing originals. But our name, we were actually first called Charito X Funk Chen because she's funky, you know?
She is.
Yeah, she is definitely funky. But it was like really long. So we're like, okay, let's brainstorm. And we actually had a couple of friends come to like a meeting space and we all just brainstormed this whole process of what would we be called if we were a duo. And Astrologic was one of the main ideas that came through. And, you know, it was also partially that we were like really connected to spirituality and, you know, we were into astrology and all of that. But it's funny how we came to sort of define it more as we grew together. It's more of like a split between us two. It's our balance between each other. So Astra and then Logic. Astra is Chen. She's a very free creative spirit. She's kind of always like, she's a Gemini. So she's very airy, floating in the sky, going into outer space sometimes. And I am the Logic. So I'm very grounded. I'm kind of like the one that, you know, handles like navigating human reality for us. So I, you know, I do the paperwork, I do the emails, I do the taxes. I am the logic, but we kind of balance each other in that way because, you know, it's like, you don't want to stick in just one place. It's kind of, you know, there's a lot more flow that can happen, I think, if you're balanced between those two spaces. So we balance each other in that way.
Absolutely. I see that.
Yeah.
So you were talking about Astra and logic and how you two kind of have this balance between you two. You're similar in some ways and you're different in other ways. And I wanted to mention that, like, there is like a yin and yang energy that you two bring, and it is a beautiful balance. In part of your bio, you mentioned that you have kind of different expressions or different things that you focus on as well. Like, you focus on trauma and mental health, while Chen centers her expression on energetic and holistic body awareness. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. Well, I think we both care about all of those aspects, but there's just definitely more of a focus. For me, I actually went to UC Davis and I graduated in human development. I wasn't very good at college. I didn't even know what human development was when I was like, oh, I'm failing bio-sci. I need to switch it up to another major. What should I do? Oh, my roommate's going into human development. I'll do that. So I went into it, but it ended up being a lot of like psychology. And I feel actually really blessed to have accidentally go into that because I felt like it brought more awareness to me about around just what goes into making a human, which is so many aspects. And in our day and age, I feel like mental health is like the thing that impacts us like so much, you know. It's sort of like, it's kind of like our, almost like our war, you know. And if you're not aware of mental health, like, it just, I see how it impacts my family and my friends. And then of course myself too. So it's just been a focal point of my own, the way that I process reality. And if you listen to a lot of songs, I mean, I write the lyrics for the song. They're pretty much like self-help books for me.
Okay. You want to share one of your favorite lyrics?
Gosh. I mean, you know, like Love Yourself. That's one of our songs. It's called Love Yourself. And it's really, that's the epitome of what it is. Just like, yeah, kind of coming back to like, okay, why am I navigating this earth? You know, like, what's the purpose? And I think loving yourself is a huge part of that. And I always forget, you know, because I'm part of the wheels in the society, you know? And so sometimes we get lost. You get kind of get caught in a trance, I think, from living the hustle, you know? Yeah. So coming back to self, coming back to presence, coming back to like, oh, I'm loving this body, loving the spirit, loving this experience. That's like one of the main things that I sort of am always trying to remind myself of. And I forget often.
Yeah. And thanks for reminding us.
Yeah.
So part of your music or part of your identity, right? You say you're a musical duo, you're queer, you're Filipina. Mm-hmm. And you do center on mental health and, mm-hmm, you know, sharing positive messages and reminders. Mm-hmm. Can I ask about like the identity of like how maybe being identifying as a Filipina or being queer has affected your mental health?
It's weird because it's like as you age, you kind of just like learn more and more about history. Mm-hmm. You observe your cycles and then you see how it's connected to family or, you know, just how it's connected to community, chosen family. I think for being queer, that was like kind of new for me. You know, I was like when I met Chen, she had already been dating women for quite some time. And I was like 26 years old, I think, and I had been dating men my whole life. And then I met her. I was like, ooh, what's this? What's happening? You know, like I'm having these feelings. And it was very confusing. So, you know, mentally, that was a struggle because I was raised to believe that your romantic partner is supposed to be a man, you know, is this heterosexual lifestyle or like, sorry, a mod, like it's like one man, one woman type of way of living. And my parents are very Catholic. So that was very difficult to present this like choice to them. Like, I want this woman that I care. And so it definitely put a rift in our family. For 2 years, I didn't speak to them, which is like really weird because I've always been sort of the nicest one in our family. I have a huge family and I have four brothers, and I've been known to kind of be like the peacemaker amongst the family. And when that happened, it was just like really weird to just be disconnected from everyone. It was hard having her kind of nearby to, like, she really helped expand my way of thinking as well. Like, she allowed me to see that there's like, you know, more access we have, there's way more ways that we can express ourselves, and it's not bad or good, it's just it is the way it is. So, and we can embrace all of it. And so I was like, okay, I can get through this. And so being a part of the queer community was actually like a very easy process for me, just because she was so supportive of my mental health through that process. And her community is like real strong. Like, they're all like all so mindful about like self-care and, you know, just like caring for each other, checking in, you know, getting straight to some deep talks if it felt like it. You know, it's like, yeah, I had a great community when I came out. Being Filipina American, however, was a much more complex process because there was so much depth that existed in the lineages before I came. And I just like, I'm still uncovering a lot of it now. And it's so intricately tied into family, and family is like the hardest thing when it comes to mental health. Someone told me once, like, if you want to know how much you've evolved as a human being, go spend one whole day or one whole week with your family and you'll know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just like, I think it being a Filipina American, I see the strength that exists in our blood, but I also see how, like, because we've continued to like try to survive being like brown in a society where we're the minority, like there was a lot of, you know, things we had to give up that kind of like lowered our standards for ourselves, and we've embodied like a lot of negative behaviors because of it. And it's like, I am learning how to see them and how to like undo them. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of raised to be a people pleaser because I was the only girl in a family of five men, you know? So they were just like, oh, same with you, huh? It sucks because it's like, even when I want to turn it off, it's so hard for me to be like, yo, you know, focus on you. Like, don't feel bad for like working on yourself. Like, why are you feeling ashamed of that? Or taking time away because you need that space, or it's overwhelming. You know, like, it's really hard to undo those old patterns.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you say that, that's something that I've also been uncovering also. And it's just, when I found out that I was a people pleaser, it was so confusing for me because I'm like, oh, this isn't how everyone is. I felt alone. But at the same time, the more work that I started doing, the more that I thought, oh, because this is the way I grew up, this is the way our culture is, obviously the women, especially the women, Filipino women, are kind of all raised to be people pleasers, to kind of put everyone else in front of themselves, to not practice self-care, to not take care of themselves, or not even really be aware of what they want. And, you know, to be prone into being in codependent relationships and all of these things, right? And it's crazy to see and to recognize. And I feel like it's going to be also for me like a constant practice of catching myself and being aware of this.
And like all the complexity of emotions that accompany that, because like the guilt and the shame is pretty deep, you know? I think.
Yeah.
You feel it so hard. And I feel like Filipinos, like, just that's a huge part of our culture is guilt and shame.
Absolutely. You know what I've heard is, yeah, it's just that guilt and the shame of maybe, you know, through all of the collective trauma that we've had of, you know, especially Filipino American, you've got the generational colonization, but you also have the immigration, but also the Catholic part of it as well.
Yeah, there's so many layers. There's so many layers where we've had to kind of dumb ourselves down, you know, to survive, you know, like it was all for survival. I understand why, you know, they had to embody it is because it's like, if you don't follow these demands by these people who are coming to take over your lands, you're going to get killed. Your children are going to get killed. Everyone's going to get messed up. So it's like, okay, I need to change to survive. And it's like, when you do that over and over and over again, it's like, you know, at some point you don't even know why you're doing it anymore, right? It's like, it just keeps getting passed on. It's so, so fucked up.
Yeah. But I loved having these types of conversations and hearing people like you trying to break these cycles, right, of this generational trauma, of the things that are programmed in our culture, and questioning, why am I doing this? How is this serving me? You know, and how do I change this?
Yep. Those are like important and very difficult questions, but I feel like freedom lies within those spaces. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like a feeling of whatever freedom means to you, but you know, like, I don't know. I think it's like we kind of all carry this baggage and we know something that we need to do to let it off, but we don't really get a chance to, you know, understand what is it. And it's like, it's all that complexity that is easy to just forget or easy to just numb, because I don't want to dive into that.
Bahala na.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right. You know, like, you know, just whatever. Okay. You know, like, I'm just going to keep, you know, using this guilt and shame because it's easier to do it this way. Mm-hmm. But not self-sustaining.
Yes, absolutely. So for the people who don't understand what Bahalana means, that is a term or a saying in the Philippines that means basically to just leave it, or like it is what it is. And it's kind of like this, you know, surrendering or defeatist almost mentality that we've had to use, I guess, throughout all of the colonization, right? And it's just this mentality that we have that's just like, if things are going to shit, just leave it. It's, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. It doesn't serve us in some ways. And then I guess it serves us in other ways, because there is a part also that is very resilient, right? Like when things are shit, like, let's do work, you know?
Yeah. No, you know what? It's such a like weird double-edged sword, you know, like in certain ways, because it's just like, on one hand, you know, this is like, it's very detrimental to like embody that type of way of being. But at the same time, it's helped us. Yeah, you're right. The resiliency is strong. We are shapeshifters. We're so good at shapeshifting and how to like be a part of every environment that exists out there. Like, we can mold to whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I think the awareness of it is really good at least. Like, if you're aware, then even like, if you were to be like, I'm going to choose to be a shapeshifter, that changes things, you know, it changes. That's like part of that freedom, that unloading of the weight. Like, I understand where this came from, but now I'm going to say, I'm going to choose to shift because I want to be, you know, so.
Yeah, it's empowering, yeah. Right? Like, you've got power, like you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are lucky in that here. So that's our, I think, I was thinking about this the other day, or talking about this with a friend. Our parents, maybe they just weren't aware of mental health, because their generation, they really had to worry about like physical safety, you know, physical, like, you know, they lived in the slums in the Philippines. There's no opportunity for them to grow or to have like, you know, to build even like a stable home.
Yeah.
So that was their focus. That's all they focused on. They didn't think about like if they were mean to you or not. So, but now we have safety. Now my generation, like, we have these walls to cover us. We have food. We don't have to worry about that. Now this is the part that needs the work, the mind.
Layer by layer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can, I guess we continue the work for the lineages.
It's, so this is our work, right?
Yeah, it is.
I want to ask, because we're kind of on the topic of being Filipino and also music, you know that sometimes it's challenging for people from Filipino families to go into the arts because it's not really a Filipino approved career choice because it's not being a nurse or going into business, right?
Yeah.
So how did your family or, you know, extended family respond to your career choice of being a musician? And for you, was it easy or difficult to navigate?
Yeah, it's still a ride. It's still a hard one because it's really interesting to me is that, you know, Filipinos, we're so good at the arts. Like we know how to dance, we know how to sing. We look good when we model, you know, like yeah. all of, you know, it's like, actually, you know, I think in Filipino culture, it is encouraged to do those things to like, oh, like, yeah, sing, let's sing, you know?
Yeah, for fun.
Let's get a karaoke machine. Yeah, for fun. Yeah. And so my mom let me sing all the time. And, you know, my dad bought me all these tools, like a karaoke machine, which is not cheap at all. And then when I go and make the choice of like, hey, I want to be a musician. It's just like, oh, you're not going to survive off of that, you know? Like why would you do that? But then I'm like, well, you encouraged me to do this all these years. Like why are you telling me to like, you know, step away from it now? And it's just, you know, it's a weird conversation. I know that maybe that was their way of sharing. This is your way to manage your mental health is to I'll let you sing, you know? Maybe that kind of could have been the reason why they let me do that. But, you know, when I made the choice to be a singer, I think I knew that it would be difficult in all aspects. But I think I was just like down for what music can do, you know? It's one of those senses or it's one of those mediums that exist that just like penetrates to the soul so quickly, you know? Like, I can move you with a song and I never have a conversation with you, you know? But for some reason, we're speaking the same language just by sharing the space, sharing the frequency of sound. So, I mean, I didn't know that when I was younger and I chose it, but I knew it was powerful. I knew music was like a healing place to be in because mental health was so important to me. I was like, I need to keep singing. It was a complicated journey too, because I got caught up in all the like the capitalist aspects of music. You know, which I feel like really messed me up down the line of just like trying to make it. I think it's just more of a definition of success in the world of music is very back then before the internet. It was so like, what's the word for this? It's just like there was only one lane. If you make it, that means you're on MTV. That means on these big spaces. And so we grind to try to get to those places.
Right.
But then I think it overpowered my spirit to the point where it's like, oh shoot. Like I thought of like, okay, I have to make music as a business and the ideal of making it this commodity, like this thing that I was trying to sell to someone, it just like, it soured the whole process for me and it made it so that I was really like retracting and holding back. And so, for years we didn't like put out a lot of original stuff. We still performed. And so at least the performance was a part of like the live creative process that we were able to still embody. And we still somehow survived off of it. So I'm like, okay. There's many ways to do it. And as the internet came out, we kind of learned like, oh, there's so many avenues you can go with this. There's no one way now, you know? Yeah. So we have the access. I think now I'm just trying to get to the point with music where, because we still have our day gigs, you know, like I'm a music teacher. That's my like main thing. So I teach one-on-one private lessons with students. But I'm trying to get to the point with music where it's like more soul purposed driven. Like I'm no more of this trying to like, oh, I'm trying to like get it out so that I can get some followers and get some likes or get some sort of external feedback. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done with that. Right. No more. I can survive with just even my side gig. And now that Chen's going to be a doctor, we're going to be good. But
You're like, yeah, I'm good.
Well, you know, I have to say a side note about something though, about music though. In terms of like the redefining success too, I feel like music has really brought me riches in community. And we have survived so much, so many hard times, because the community that we've met through music, that we've connected with music, really just held us through all of it. There was a 2-year stint where we didn't have a home, and they like housing us. They were like, you know, like helping, like just like give us space to stay for like weeks at a time. Or they would give us like services, like, here, let me exchange with y'all, like dental work, car repairs, and like all this stuff. It's just really crazy how that connection through the arts really made it so that we could still survive.
Yeah.
Like a modern reality without necessarily having like the money for it.
That is beautiful, right? The music. And also, would you say the challenges and the adversity like helped you as well?
Yeah, for sure. Again, like the resiliency, you know, I think it also helped us kind of narrow down the things that matter. So we became less high maintenance, I guess you would say. Yeah, we knew the value of connection with people. And just like when we were in people's homes, we were getting deep with each other and like really making each other feel loved. And people would invite us back just because of that. They're like, come back again. Like, we just want you in our home. So, you know, sometimes we would, it felt like we were like paying rent just with like our presence, and which is like a very different way of being, you know what I'm saying? Like, to take money out of the picture.
It's anti-capitalist.
Yes. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is really amazing, you know, and I was just having a thought about capitalism also, because like, yeah, that's what makes the world go round. But at the same time, if you're hyper-focused on that, it really does like disconnect us from each other. It disconnects us from ourselves. And we start to prioritize things that like over people, mm-hmm. right? And what you're saying here is kind of a reflection. If you kind of go the opposite way, it's like there is value in human connection. Whereas if you go the opposite way of just like really just valuing money, you're separating. We're separating ourselves from each other.
Yes. And I think as a human, we just innately want to feel connected. I feel like even money, sometimes like the desire to have money is sometimes to feel that void of like, I need to feel some sort of connection to something. And so like, let me use this money.
Yeah. Let me go buy something on Amazon real quick.
Yeah. Let me feel good right now. You know, I need to feel good right now. So I'm going to go buy this real quick, but it's still like, mm-hmm. it's still temporary. You know what I'm saying? When you connect with a person, it's something that I feel like it can reverberate beyond that moment that the connection happened.
Yeah. The payoff is so much greater.
Yeah. I don't, times I think about it, I'm like, damn, we freaking survived all that shit. That's crazy.
Yeah. What's something that comes to your mind when you're like, damn, we survived that? And what did you learn or gain from that experience?
Well, I think that, you know, when I speak about this period of time, there was a point where we moved to LA, right? Because we wanted to make it. You know, it's sort of like that ideal again, like of making it. And it didn't vibe with us, right? So when we went out there, we stayed there for about 1.5 years. And it was cool. But then we were like, oh, man, I'm not sure if I want to live this lifestyle. So we left, but we spent everything we had there, right? And when we came back, it was like we have community, we had family, but we didn't have any money. And like, we couldn't find a space to live. It was just so hard. So we were living homeless for quite some time, for about 2 years. And I didn't want to move back in with my family because I was just like, oh, I don't know if I can handle that. I'm not that evolved yet. So then that's when we were like, I mean, we made a choice to also be homeless, which is really interesting too. But now when I think about it, like, it was not really that we're homeless. We were houseless in that we didn't have a permanent space. But through that time, again, those connections. We started making connections with community people who heard about our situation and just have always connected through us with us through either like music, through connecting at community events. And they just like, I guess they were just so supportive of like who we were as beings. And we're like, we want to help you. We know that you have this abundance in this way. Let us help you with it, you know? And I think for me and Chen, we're also have a little bit more awareness of like how to be mindful too. So maybe I owe some of that to like my people pleasing days, because I did my best to, when I was in the spaces, to make sure that I could help with like the space, like clean, like, oh, let me buy some food for us for the week. You know, like we made a very conscious effort to reciprocate energy with the people in the spaces we were in. And that's, again, what made us like them want to bring us back, or like how, you know, it was, we always had a place to stay. I feel like in those 2 years that we were houseless, I only slept in our car like once. Wow. Which is amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
That is amazing.
So, you know, and I think what was challenging during those times was really that mental talk. Like, does this mean I'm less of a person because I don't have a home? Does this mean like there's something wrong with me because I don't know how to make enough money to sustain, you know, living in an apartment in the Bay Area? Like, you know, like, that negative self-talk was happening a lot, so much throughout that time. But then it would get it would get erased from like the connection that we were making with people. So, you know, the community, the connection, this space where we can like share energy with people is like so important. And seeing that from both sides, being really present and active and making sure that it's a cycle, it's a process. It's not just me just, oh yeah, you're gonna let me stay at your house, cool, let me eat all your shit, let me stay here as long as I can. Like, it wasn't like that at all, you know? Like, we really showed deep appreciation for folks with people, and I think that they felt that and wanted to like just even share more.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what we learned. It was hard, but it was like, it was easy. So weird.
What would you say to someone who is in a position where they feel like they've lost a lot, where they feel like, you know, maybe they have lost, you know, the roof over their head, or they have lost everything in one capacity or another? What would your advice be?
I think the thing that I would probably say to them is, you know, is to not be afraid or ashamed of asking for help. But at the same time, if you're going to do that, be in gratitude, like really be in gratitude. Because I think that if we were to approach these spaces where we were asking for help and we were just like nonchalant about it, or just like, you know, kind of pretending that like, ungrateful basically, or just not showing respect and care and love for what was being shared with us, it would have been a completely different 2 years. You know, so I think just having some humility about like reaching out to your community, and then at the same time, like just being in deep gratitude and respect and love for what is being shared, you know, it will keep coming to you, I think, if you are in that way. So,
love that.
Crazy.
Yeah, I forgot what a about journey. Those days. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know, you've got through it. What are you guys up to now?
So me and Chen have been together for 11 years now, I think. We've been together for a long time and we've been through all kinds of stuff. So we're in a place of evolve. We're like evolving to the next level Pokemon right now. Chen is, she's going to school to become a doctor in chiropractic care, which is amazing.
Amazing.
She's always been a great body worker. She was a massage therapist for almost 10 years, more, I think, than that. And now she's taking it to the next step, which is the structure that holds the entire body upright and supports actually everything, like everything you do. It's crazy. I'm like listening into her classes and I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? That's crazy. That's happening in my body right now. What the? Holy shit. And then for me, you know, we've never not been like apart, you know, for so long. So we've always kind of been glued together in our endeavors. And this is the first time where like, oh shit, I'm a separate person from you. Like we are individual entities. And so I'm going through a lot of like self-discovery of like how to hold myself with the music, especially like kind of, I'm so used to her playing the guitar because she's so good at it. I was like, but before I met her, I played for myself for since I was a teenager.
Wow.
So it's just like, oh shit, like I know how to play the guitar. I forgot that I knew how to play the guitar. Yeah. But it's also scary because I think I just, it was, you know, it's the codependency. I really like depended on her for a lot. And now we're trying to shift it from a place of like codependency to interdependency where we can like, when we're both ready to relate in that way, then we're going to come back to it. And, you know, if she got to handle her shit, then I'm going to handle my shit too, you know? And I've been really enjoying it. I'm actually been doing like a lot of like self dates, just going. I went to Coachella by myself.
No way.
It was so fun.
I didn't know you went by yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I was camping with her cousins, but they wanted to see a lot of different acts than I did. And I ended up navigating by myself. And I was just like, oh, this is fun. Oh, I like myself.
Yeah.
I fell in love with myself. Like I enjoyed being on a date with me. And I didn't know that I needed to do that. So just all of that, just like revisiting my spirit and how I've grown, how I've changed through all of it, because I've changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I feel that like as a recovering people pleaser, I can picture you and like empathize with you of like, you mean I can go to any stage at any time? I don't have to wait for anyone. I could like stay here for 5 minutes or I could stay here the whole night and like no one's going to have an issue with it.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, we want to be like included with everyone. We're like, oh, where do you guys want to go? Where do y'all want to go? Okay. You know, so it's like we want everyone to feel like that everybody has a say in how we're going to navigate space. But it's like, oh, I get to feel my own spirit and the choice that I want to make. So like I would like run to the front of a state, like a space, right? And then I'd be like, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna go take a nap over here real quick. Just like in the middle of the field. Where?
That's dope. Yeah, that's so cool.
It's like, such a new place that's really exciting. And I'm excited to see, cause I'm actually trying to create music again. And I'm taking classes now. I'm gonna take a class that starts next week. That runs for 7 weeks and it's just about honing in the creative process and, you know, just like how do you create with intention at the space that you're at right now. I'm so excited for it.
I'm really excited for you too. It seems like such like a time of growth and expansion, and I cannot wait to hear more about what you're discovering and what you're learning. It sounds like such a really cool time.
Yeah, I'm so excited too.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. I know that you are going to sing a song and you're gonna be playing guitar as well.
Yeah.
And I've never seen you play guitar before.
Yeah, really? You've never seen me play guitar?
No, I actually didn't know you played. So this is gonna be like extra special.
Cool.
Yeah, so thanks for doing that. Yeah. What song are you gonna sing?
It's gonna be a cover.
Okay.
It's a cover of this really like amazing artist named Nirvana that I fell in love with. She's amazing. And I'm also in this place of just like kind of being more present with the tiny details of reality, of just like and really smelling a flower when I'm next to it, you know, or being really intentional about taking a breath so I could feel like, oh, this breath is giving me a little break from the craziness of the day, like really enjoy this breath. So Ravina, I feel like embodies a lot of that, just like honing to the details and putting a lot of love into it. So it's one of her songs.
Beautiful. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. Just let me know. I want to see if I could try to connect.
Yeah, please. Let's try and connect. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to try and connect it. Let's see.
Okay, folks. Now it's the time we've all been waiting for. Chirito here is going to share her gorgeous gift of music and song with us. You want to share with us what song you're singing again and by who?
Okay, so I'll be doing a cover of a song called Honey by Ravina. This really amazing Indian-American woman who's just like killing it in the scene. I actually saw her at Coachella and she's just so dope.
All right, well, take it away.
Your honey, your honey, your honey. honey, your honey, your honey, your honey, your honey.
Gorgeous song. The way that you sang it is just like I was in a trance.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this felt like a private concert, but obviously the people who are listening are also, they also know what I'm talking about. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing your beautiful gift. It is like such a treat to be able to see you do your thing like that and do it in a way that is, you know, like from this version of yourself.
Yes. Thank you for letting me have a space to be able to express that part of me, because it's very new. It's a very new, a new place to be in after all these years. So thank you. You made me feel good and safe in that I could share it with you. So shouts out to you.
Pleasure. Yeah. So for the people that are like, okay, damn, this girl's voice is like banging. How do I hear more of this? How do I connect with her? Where can people reach you and find more of your music?
The most active space we are in currently in social media is Instagram. So you can follow our journey there. And it's like, I'm the one who mostly posts on Astrologic's account. So it's mostly my take of my journey. So you can find it. It's Astrologik. And we're on Spotify, we're on Tidal, we're on Apple Music. So you just look up that same name and you can find us there. I'm hoping that I can, at the end of this, I'm taking a class, a series, and so hoping by the end of June that I'll be releasing a solo EP at the end of it. So
wonderful.
Yeah, so you'll get to hear a more developed part of this journey as well on that EP, hopefully.
I just got to say, Chirito, like throughout all of this, from the karaoke machines to LA, to homelessness, music teaching, performing on stages, and all that you do, that you've still maintained integrity with your passion. No matter what, paid or unpaid, you know, barter system or whatever, and even here on this podcast, you're staying true to what, like, lights you up. And what also fills other people up. So I really want to acknowledge you for sharing your gift with us in that way. And no matter what circumstance you're in, you stay true to yourself in this way.
That's a very sweet observation. I'm going to just like pat myself on the back. I really am trying to do what you're observing. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks so much for being on the show. Really appreciate you being here. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Undercurrent Podcast. If we're not yet connected on Instagram, give me a follow at Liana Lumawig and at The Undercurrent Podcast. For more tips on how to design your life on your terms, or if you'd like to reach out, visit lianalumawig.com, or you can always DM me on Instagram at The Undercurrent Podcast. Take care, my friends, and see you next week.